Today's story is about power and who wields it. It's about activism, and it's about hypocrisy, and it's also about rap music and football. If there is anyone in the entertainment industry big enough to tell the NFL, the world's biggest sports league, to shove it just on a point of principle, it's Jay-Z. He has literally done that, in public and on the record. He did it in solidarity with Colin Kaepernick and a group of players who were taking a knee during the national anthem to protest police brutality and inequality.
There are a lot of things that are going on that are unjust. People aren't being held accountable for, and that's something that needs to change. You know, this country stands for freedom, liberty, justice for all, and it's not happening for all right now.
That stance cost Kaepernick his job, but it forced the NFL teams and the league itself to grapple with some uncomfortable truths. It's now been 3 years since Kaepernick played his last NFL game, and the league hasn't been able to shake the controversy around its players and the role race plays in their experience. I mean, it's been hard for a group of white billionaires to publicly empathize with African-American men who have fought their way out of poverty and are playing for their families' futures. So what the NFL needed was someone who could bridge that gap. And they found a businessman.
It's the NFL's newest team, business and music mogul Jay-Z partnering with Commissioner Roger Goodell in the league. The unlikely alliance seems like a Hail Mary after the rapper publicly bashed the NFL over its handling of the Colin Kaepernick controversy.
I guess my speaking out brought about a conversation, which brought about a conversation which led to a partnership.
When the league kicks off its 100th season tonight, it will do so with a concert programmed by its newest business partner, Jay-Z. The same guy who stood with Colin, the same guy who made no secret of his disdain for the league's politics. All it took was the right number, but who won that deal? And what does it mean for the future of politics and sports? The NFL hopes that this partnership will put the Kaepernick mess behind them, and it might. But has Jay-Z really sold out his principles for corporate money? Or is there a long game here? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story. Donovan Bennett of Sportsnet is our go-to guest whenever sports collides with politics, and he's going to attempt to unpack this for us here. Hi, Donovan.
Hey, I'm going to try, because I don't even know how I feel about it in my head, and it's been a little bit.
But tonight, the NFL kicks off its 100th season with a concert starring Meek Mill of Roc Nation. Explain what that means to a league that's obviously done battle on the political front recently.
Yeah, NFL kickoff certainly sounds like Meek Mill and Meghan Trainor as your headliners. That makes a lot of sense. No, I mean, the NFL, when we had conversations about it leading into the last couple seasons, they were not about the football or our respective fantasy teams. They were about the political football that was being passed back and forth, and their deal with Roc Nation, the entertainment company founded by Jay-Z, is hoping to do two things at once. And I say that with a question mark because I'm still not really sure. One certainly is to take the focus of the politics that have been in the game and have some actionable items that they can work towards. And the other is to revamp halftime shows and
Have Jay-Z Beyonce Super Bowl, right?
Potentially, yeah. I mean, have Jay-Z and Roc Nation input in terms of revamping their halftime shows, which really weren't an issue. The issue with the halftime show at the Super Bowl was that no one wanted to perform at it because no one wanted a relationship with the NFL because they didn't want to cross the picket line, so to speak, and that phrase is Colin Kaepernick's agents, Mark Garagos, is not mine, because they felt having a relationship with the NFL was then turning your back to Colin Kaepernick and everything that he stood for in terms of social change and police brutality in the United States. So a refresher for those who don't remember because it's been a while. In 2016 in the preseason, Colin Kaepernick, a quarterback at the time for the San Francisco 49ers, was sitting for the national anthem. He wasn't standing, and wasn't a story until a photo from the press box was leaked on social media and people retroactively asked him why he wasn't standing for the anthem. And he basically said the anthem didn't support the hopes and values that he saw the country he wanted to be a part of. And he referenced things like racial inequality, oppression in terms of financial stresses on people in impoverished areas, and police brutality. He later eventually amended his stance. Instead of sitting, he knelt. And from 2016 till today, players have still protested the national anthem. The league has tried to put in some rules around how you can protest, which again made the story even bigger. And Donald Trump made it a political issue, something
right.
that
this
he
time
campaigned
last year,
about.
That's what we were talking about, is Donald yes. Trump versus the NFL.
And Colin Kaepernick, after Donald Trump made it such a big issue, has not been able to find work in the NFL. He sued the NFL, him along with Eric Reid, for collusion. It's a case that he won, yet he still doesn't have a job. Here comes Jay-Z, who historically has been outspoken about how much he believes in Kaepernick, called him an inspiration and an icon, said at a concert in Miami that he should continue to protest. He wore Kaepernick's jersey during a performance on Saturday Night Live. Yet, he has done a deal with the NFL, hoping to change the narrative in terms of the conversation around what's happening before football games and what, if any, duty the NFL has to solve societal issues. But what happened was the opposite. It just became a bigger conversation, and people were upset that Colin Kaepernick wasn't part of the conversation.
How did the football world react to this?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, players who were in line with Kaepernick were immediately upset. Kenny Stills, a player for the Miami Dolphins, who right before this happened, called out his owner, Stephen Ross, who put together a fundraiser for Donald Trump. And that was the NFL conversation that people were having. And because of the awareness that Kenny Stills brought to that issue, people started to boycott Stephen Ross's businesses. People were giving back their Equinox memberships because of it. And it became an issue on that team where Brian Flores, the new coach of the Miami Dolphins, who is an African-American who wants to get off on a good start with his boss, but also his football team, was put in a tough spot and spoke to the media about how he wished Kenny Stills would have went to the owner directly. Later, he would then scold him by playing 8 consecutive Jay-Z songs in a row. Kenny Stills talked to the media and said that Jay-Z seemed very uninformed on the issues that he was talking about and seemed suspicious that there was going to be a resolution, but was willing to wait. Eric Reid, who also protested with Colin Kaepernick, who also sued the NFL, basing the fact that he thought he was out of work for some time due to collusion, was also outspoken. And there was a specific line that many of the players took issue with. And Jay-Z, in his media availability at the Roc Nation head offices, where NFL press conferences
when they announced
would be,
the deal.
Yes, when they announced the deal, with Roger Goodell beside him, said, "We're past the kneeling." And the players specifically took that personally because they looked around and said, "Well, you were never kneeling.
Right.
You never put your paycheck on the line for these causes. You never put your employer in a tough situation." So the fact that Jay-Z came in to, in a way, co-opt a movement that Colin Kaepernick certainly started, wasn't able to continue, but a bunch of players in the NFL tried to carry the torch for him. Players in the NFL felt dismissed, in a word.
How does Jay-Z justify that? He has been so outspoken and supportive of Kaepernick, and then to turn around and enter into a business deal with the league that's guilty of colluding against him, according to the courts.
Yeah, and he addressed that in his press conference at the Roc Nation office, which I found very interesting. One still photographer, only NFL films filming it, a small list of invited journalists. Like, to me, that almost sounds like propaganda, right? Like, that's
right.
What
he's not letting anybody come in there and ask the tough questions.
Certainly. People who have been very, very staunch defenders of Colin Kaepernick and have taken Roger Goodell and the NFL office to task were not on that invite list. Right. And he said something, and this is where my conflict is. He said, "So what are we going to do? Help millions and millions of people, or we get stuck on Colin not having a job?" And in a way, sadly, there is some truth to what he's saying. He spoke about being past kneeling and needed actionable items. Now, the problem is he hasn't really outlined what success looks like and what those actionable items are, because everything else he said, whether it's in the press release or in that press conference, was very vague and it was political speak, to be honest.
Because I was going to ask you about that. So this is part of the Inspire Change initiative, is yes. what the NFL is calling it. And yes. what I just wanted to know, because I hadn't seen it anywhere, is exactly what kind of change they're working towards. Like, what do they actually want to achieve?
Well, we know more about the music side of this than the social justice
right,
side.
We already know the concert lineup. So what's the social justice side?
We know the concert side of it. We know that there's going to be merchandise sold and there's going to be NFL playlists. And funds from all of that is going to go to Inspire Change, which, listen, does some great work. And the Players Coalition, which is a group that was formed basically to keep the NFL on their promise of putting money towards the causes that they said they care about. They've got $85 million in 2018. They're looking at over $100 million from them in 2019 and beyond. Some of that money goes to the Negro College Fund, to the Boys and Girls Clubs of America. So certainly there's lots of money going to good places. Some people who have done the accounting on it have said, well, that was money that the NFL earmarked to give to charities anyways. They just changed the charities they're giving to. And it's really not a bigger investment from the NFL. But still, there's people having conversation about these issues, which wasn't happening before Colin Kaepernick took a knee or the Players Coalition was formed. Jay-Z is supposed to be on board so that you have a black face in the room when these decisions are being made. Representation matters. We talk about that all the time. He is supposed to be the representation. Unfortunately, he's never worn a shut helmet. He's closer to the other billionaires who are making decisions than he are the players, who many of which have come from impoverished communities, 70% of which are black, or the people on the ground that Colin Kaepernick was taking a stand for in the first place. And so naturally, when there's a business deal, you look at who has something to gain. And Jay-Z certainly has more to gain personally and professionally than people think he is helping the struggling people of America gain. So he has a very good social justice record. So we'll see if he'll make good on it in this case.
Do we know what Colin Kaepernick himself actually thinks of this?
Yeah, well, he has been... Well, his agent said Jay-Z essentially crossed the picket line.
Right.
Colin has been, without calling out Jay-Z by name, he's thrown some vague shots at him via his social media account. But he's gone out of his way to thank the other players who are continuing to protest. But in doing that, use language to make it clear that he's been watching, he's been listening, and the things that Jay-Z is saying, he is vehemently in disagreement with. And their relationship is part of the issue here. Jay-Z alluded to the fact that he talked to Colin Kaepernick before signing off on this deal. His girlfriend, him being Colin Kaepernick, came out and said that's not the case whatsoever. People then said, well, it may have been semantics, where he potentially did not talk to Colin Kaepernick before accepting terms on the deal, but reached out to him before it was announced and the press conference happened. But also, I think some of that, I guess, lack of being upfront is why people have an issue with Jay-Z, not even just the relationship with the NFL or if this is going to cause any real change, because there is a pattern of his history of doing things behind people's back when he is the person to gain.
How so?
Well, I mean, if we could even just look to this NFL deal, it's been reported by Funkmaster Flex, a big hip-hop DJ, and by others, by Brian Michael Cox, who is a big songwriter, that Jermaine Dupri essentially had this deal, and it was leading into the Super Bowl in Atlanta. He was going to help the NFL around that Super Bowl, their concerts, their promotion, get a lot of Atlanta artists on board, which is pretty much what everybody wanted. And he was going to help them with the social justice issues on the back end. And allegedly, Jay-Z reached out to Jermaine Dupri and told him not to take the deal. And we know that Jay-Z has had a pattern of reaching out to people, telling them not to work with the NFL, because Travis Scott has said that Jay-Z reached out, even though Travis Scott decided he was going to be a part of the Super Bowl halftime anyways. And many artists have said that Jay-Z was leading the cause, saying you can't be a part of this Super Bowl. And Jay-Z himself has rapped about the fact in the song Ape Shit that he said no to the NFL. I said no to the Super Bowl. You need me, I don't need you. Every night we in the end zone. Tell the NFL we in stadiums too. It's funny because he's making content out of that fact, out of the fact that in a way it's a bit of a flex, a bit of a humble brag that I'm big enough that I can say no to the NFL. Until maybe in TMZ.
It's not even that humble of a brag.
Well, no, it's not. And until TMZ reported literally the day after this was announced that Jay-Z has in line some potential significant ownership stake with an NFL team.
Is that the end goal for him here?
Why?
He's tough. He's a businessman.
It's tough to say because he is a businessman, and that's, if we're going to use his music as the blueprint, one of his most famous lines is, I'm a businessman, not a businessman. So he literally is an industry in himself, and he can change the way people think about things. And what the NFL is buying is some Jay-Z capital. They're trying to buy some goodwill, and they're trying to deflect and point the spotlight onto him and off of them. And he is using his popularity and his followers, and a lot of his followers have been supporters of him through this, saying, I'm going to use some of that capital to leverage it into actual capital and get into, you know, one of the biggest old boys clubs ownership in the NFL. The issue there is, if that is his end goal and his play, is it's a conflict of interest. Roc Nation is the music arm of his business, but Roc Sports is the agency arm of his business. Saquon Barkley could be the face of the NFL for the next 10 years. He's a client of Roc Sports. And so Jay-Z can't have a sports agency,
right,
and also be the owner of a team and also work with the league on their entertainment. Like, you can't have your hand in that many pots because it is a conflict of interest. And it was an issue when he was an NBA owner, had a small stake in the Brooklyn Nets. He was going to make the Nets cool again, bring them to Brooklyn. He worked with them on their in-house entertainment and their musical playlist. Was seen wearing Nets gear all of the time to make the rebrand really cool. Bruce Ratner gave him a portion of the deal. And like a smart businessman, he got some equity for his talents and his mind and leveraging, again, his popularity. And then when he started his basketball agency and represented players like Kevin Durant, he then had to sell his business interests. A couple years later, who does he deliver to the Brooklyn Nets on a platter? Kevin Durant. And part of that deal was Kevin Durant was not only going to play for the Brooklyn Nets, but Kevin Durant, also a young emerging business person, part of the reason why he went and played for the Golden State Warriors, because he wanted to get his hand in some of the tech money in the Silicon Valley. Well, he also wants to have a production company himself. And so having a relationship with Roc Nation makes sense for Kevin Durant. So you see at the high level where, if it doesn't make money, it doesn't make sense. Some of the cyclical recycling of the money that we accuse corporate entities of doing is happening with these guys that are supposed to be agents for change, but really at the end of the day, they're capitalists. And that's why people feel like this is a little bit uncomfortable. If we go back to the song Ape Shit, the music video is in the Louvre. And at the time when it came out, it was a sign of Black empowerment. Jay-Z and Beyonce, the Carters, they were able to literally shut down one of the world's biggest tourist attractions, and in a place that full of fine art, not a place that historically was welcoming to people who grew up in poverty, and now they're so rich, they shut the place down for their own
playhouse. Yeah, it's a powerful statement.
It's a powerful statement. But also people take from that statement that, well, no, you're actually, at this point, an aristocrat. You are closer to the other billionaires that you play with, and you're so far removed from the people who are consuming your music that your power isn't really helping them, even though the symbol looks great.
So a similar question to what you've just described then, because I was going to ask you is, I realize that there's some bad looks for Jay-Z in all this. Is it worth it if he busts down the door and becomes the first Black NFL owner?
I mean, one of the things, and I really don't want to jump to judgment, even though all of this feels really uncomfortable. But a lot of people said, well, Jay-Z's up there laughing up with Roger Goodell. It's a bad look when Colin Kaepernick still doesn't have a job. If he wanted to do this deal, he should have brought Colin with him. He should have been part of it. He should bring him to the table. This was all Colin's idea. And I was like, well, what if his end game would be to give Colin a job? Like, if Jay-Z said to Roger Goodell, I'm not doing this deal unless you force Colin Kaepernick on a team. Well, that would just be collusion. That would just be Roger Goodell.
It would be the other side of collusion. The same,
yes. Saying, yeah, I actually have the power to do what I said I didn't do. So would that be better for Colin Kaepernick? Would Jay-Z coming in with an affirmative action hand change the conversation? And one of the interesting things about this is that both sides of the coin were mad at Jay-Z. Eric Reid and the players were mad at Jay-Z. Tommy Lahren in Fox News was mad at Jay-Z. Somehow he got the far left and the far right really upset at him at the same time.
Sometimes that means you're doing it right.
Well, exactly. And if he actually got into the room and was powerful enough to say, no, I'm an owner. I'm going to empower a coach and a GM to not be afraid of consequence, not be afraid of what the White House press secretary is saying. Colin Kaepernick's going to get a tryout. And if sports is really going to be the meritocracy that we hope it is, if it works out, great. And if it doesn't, then you know what? I'm going to have a place somewhere in my organization for Colin Kaepernick, a quarterback coach, an advanced scout, a activist, a community ambassador, whatever.
Sure.
That would be a great ending scenario. But at this point, the way it happened with Jay-Z seemingly doing it from a backdoor scenario, I don't know if we ever get to that place. I do see both sides of it, and it comes back to a place where it's like that Spider-Man meme. Everyone's pointing the finger at the other person, and everyone's calling everyone a hypocrite at this point. And somehow Roger Goodell just moonwalked out of the room, and no one's talking about him.
That was my last question for you, is like, all of this aside, and whatever Jay-Z's future ambitions are aside, in the current term, this is a win for the establishment, right?
I think so. I mean, it couldn't have been any worse. So I don't, even if the gains are marginal, it's still a game. And there's a quote Goodell had 5 years ago that I found super interesting as we look at it now. And he said, we'd like to say the NFL is the ultimate meritocracy. If you can play football, they want to see you play. The teams want you. The fans want you. Then that's ultimately what it's all about. And we're like, wow, that's a profound statement. Did Roger Goodell finally address Colin Kaepernick? No, he was talking about Michael Sam. And so Roger Goodell tried to lead on the stance of, I want everyone in my league. I will give people who have committed heinous crimes a second chance because I believe in rehab. And I want players who want to be a part of the community and who can play football a part of this league, except on this issue. This is the one issue where he has said nothing. At the press conference, he refused to say Colin Kaepernick's name. And so you really see the power of the owners basically running Roger Goodell and him being the face of this, so powerful that Kenny Stills, who took Stephen Ross to task, was traded before the season started.
No longer on the team.
No longer on the team. So certainly these owners have lots of power. Robert Kraft, who has been one of the most outspoken supporters of Donald Trump, was the guy that brokered the Roc Nation deal between Jay-Z and the NFL. And he was also the guy who helped Meek Mill get out of jail. And so you see that these owners have power in real life and in the NFL life. Roger Goodell wants to allow them to continue to have that power. He just doesn't want to take all the arrows because of it. And I think Jay-Z is being used as a shield for the NFL establishment. Jay-Z has a real chance. And the optics look like he's just enriching himself. Because when I think of police brutality and social change, the thing that gets it done is playlists and t-shirts, right? Like, that's not actually going to change the way people think in America. But we'll see. This is the constant struggle that movements have of representation matters, having a seat at the table, but also not having a crabs in a bucket mentality where you are just fighting for yourself and you're not helping everyone else get up with you. It's the struggle that all movements have, whether it was Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, who were on different sides of that same conversation. We've seen it in the movements that are going on right now, whether it's the Me Too or the women's rights movement. We'll see what Jay-Z does.
Thanks, Donovan.
Anytime.
Donovan Bennett from Sportsnet. That was The Big Story. If you want more, we're at thebigstorypodcast.ca. We are also on Twitter at thebigstoryfpn. You can find Frequency Podcast Network, the home of us and several other great podcasts, at frequencypodcastnetwork.com. And you can, of course, find all the podcasts everywhere they are. We'd love a rating and a review. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a six-part podcast from CBC. Available now.